Good afternoon, everybody. It is Monday, September 29th, and I am in a lousy mood. My HRT appointment, hormone replacement therapy, I think that's what it stands for. Anyway, basically my estrogen and testosterone, because women have a little bit of need for that too. My appointment got moved back by a day. But it's breaking me because it was already a month late. So I haven't slept because of the hot flashes, and I am moody and I want to cry. And I'm also really crabby because the world is falling apart, and I don't feel like I'm doing enough, and yet I'm overwhelmed, and I do not want to take, like, I'm not having a panic attack, but I could. I feel like I'm just on the verge of one. And I just rage cooked macaroni and cheese, like the Cracker Barrel boxed kind, which had expired, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. Not that it makes any difference. Or not expired, I guess it hit the Best Buy date was a couple years ago. I don't care. I live on the edge. I eat romaine lettuce without washing it. So far, I'm fine. In fact, I think that that's probably why I'm fine, because I have a gut of steel. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I am crabby. So, and I'm hormonal and I'm tired. I didn't sleep well, though. I had dreams about Rob Lowe, and not necessarily in a good way, not in a bad way. Something about, God, he was in a boat or something. I'll have to come back to that. Anyway, I was listening to a few podcasts this morning, you know, just kind of trying them out. I don't listen. There's only a couple I listen to regularly. And, but they're all, every single one of them, and I'm not going to name names, but all of them, and they're big names, like, you know, they're popular. You know, they're talking about how it's time to go scorched earth against the left and all of that. There was another shooting, church shooting this weekend, and then the guy lit the place on fire. And I think four for sure were killed, four people. And I don't know how many died in the fire. I haven't looked at that recently yet. I don't know if they know yet. And I don't know anything about his politics. I don't know what side he was on. I don't care. I'm just so tired of not addressing the elephant in the room, which is really poor mental health. And I don't care what side you're on. I don't care what side he's on. It sounds like he might have been military, I don't know, Marine or Army or something. And we already know how bad our veterans are treated and how poor the care is for them. And that is just absolutely infuriating to me. These are people who, you know, defended our country, and yet they can't get in to see a doctor. And they're, you know, they're just, we treat them so horribly. It's just not even funny. And I think we need to do something about that, as well as just the mental health, clearly crisis we have going on here. I think it was in place before COVID, but COVID put it on steroids. And, you know, part of it is, I don't know the answer, but I think we need to look at it from a different angle than how we've been treating it so far, because I don't think people are getting better. I think they're getting worse. And I don't think drugs is the answer. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know, but I think we need to really focus on that, because whether they're radicalized by the left or the right, you know, it reminds me of the 70s when everybody was joining cults, and, you know, like the Manson cults and, you know, all the other nutcases that were out there. And, you know, and I was just a kid then, but, you know, everybody was either flocking to the church or they were flocking to a cult, and sometimes they were the same thing. So the church was the cult. And it seemed like this mass hysteria situation going on, maybe, you know, as a response to Vietnam or all the cultural chaos that was happening, and we seem to be in a similar phase right now. I'm really hoping we get another 80s that follows it, but I don't know if we're going to survive it. You know, the idea of going scorched earth against the left, to me, is probably the dumbest thing you could possibly do. We are so divided, and more division is not the solution to division. It just blows my mind that anybody thinks that this is a reasonable response. You know, we're headed into, you know, Atlas Shrugged territory, where all the producers and doers and creators leave and go live in the mountains somewhere. I always thought that was such a ridiculous point of the book, but it's becoming like, it's coming true. Like, I don't know where they're going to go, but there has to be a way to, I don't know, bridge this difference. But I don't think, I guess my part of my frustration is that all of these shows, these podcasts and you know, whatever, depending on what station it's coming from, the division is on both sides. And no matter, they're the people talking about each other in these podcasts or on these radio shows or TV shows or any of it, they are all in it to make money. I mean, this is, so they're not looking for solutions to the problem. They're just trying to rile people up so that they listen. And I, you know, I'm listening to this podcast and I'm getting riled up. I had to turn it off because that's not the solution. You know, the solution is to go out and talk to your neighbors, get to know the people around you. They might have a different opinion, but if you know, like if you know them, it's hard to hate them, you know? And so we have to stop objectifying, you know, the people on the other side, because they're just as human as we are. And the reality is, we all want, I truly believe this, we all want the same thing. We just have a different way of trying to get there. And so whatever way that we're currently doing isn't working, whether it's, you know, the homeless or that's really the big one. For me anyway, you know, we never used to have a homeless problem in the Twin Cities, mostly because it gets so cold here that you can't live on the street. And then something changed and suddenly, you know, we look like Seattle with all the, not Seattle now, but like Seattle in the 90s, which I moved out to Seattle in the 90s and late 90s. And it was shocking the amount of people that were living on the street and just panhandlers and all of that. And yet, within 2 weeks, I was used to them. You know, I walked by them on my way to work every single day. And, you know, not just two or three, but hundreds. And you just get to the point where you look past them. And this is, I was driving with my daughter yesterday to Minneapolis. We were in Minneapolis. And we went by this homeless camp. And, you know, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But you can see it. You can see all the blue tents and tarps and whatnot. And then you just see the trash. And it's just, it's a mess. And, you know, broken grocery carts and broken bicycles and, you know, people sleeping on the grass and, you know, people urinating and defecating on, you know, in public and whatnot. And you just turn a blind eye to it. And the idea that that's a suitable way for people to live blows my mind. It's not. It's cruel to the people who are living that lifestyle and the people that live around them, who's, you know, who worked really hard to buy the property that they own, and now suddenly they've got homeless people encamped all around them, lowering the value of their home that they worked really hard for. It's cruel on so many levels. And I don't necessarily know the solution to it. I know it's hard to house somebody who doesn't want to be housed, but there has to be a way to do this because it wasn't a problem 20 years ago. I mean, it was in Seattle. I mean, certainly there were pockets, but it's so, like, it seems to be everywhere. And I realize that Minnesota is, you know, right behind California and Portland and Seattle, but we never used to be. And that's sad. I don't know why we have allowed this to happen. I think it's cruel, and it's no way to live a life. So, and I got off track here. I just think that we need to spend more time trying to find solutions instead of riling people up because we don't like the way things are. And I think that the best way to do that starts with the individual. Vote is the best thing you can do. If you're of voting age, vote accordingly. Vote for the person who is going to do the things that you want them to do. I don't care how you vote. We're still living in a democracy, contrary to what some people will say. But vote for your best interests, not your neighbors, not your, you know, Facebook baking group, not, you know, nobody has to know who you voted for. That's first and foremost. But if it's not working, you gotta vote the people who are not working for you out. And if it's really important, it'd be best to talk to your friends. You know, do what Charlie Kirk did and have conversations. I'm not saying, you know, you need to fill a stadium, but, you know, we've all become so isolated. And so, you know, we get online and we yell and scream, but do we even talk to our neighbors anymore? So I think that that's, and talk to your kids. If you've got kids who are, you know, recently voting, you know, they are tuned into what's going on, and they have reasons. If they vote differently from you, they have valid reasons for doing such. You know, the housing, we have a housing problem. People can't buy homes who are, you know, starting out. There are no starter homes available. The houses that they're building are, you know, million-dollar homes. So it's, we're leaving out a generation that can't buy a house. And that's how Mamdani's and AOC's and Bernie Sanders get elected. So we need to solve that problem so that we don't have become a socialist nation, and we're so close to it. But I think instead of getting riled up and riling up the crowd, because that's what's going to cause more of this violence, is people think, and it goes on. I'm playing both sides, and that's horrible. Lilith, get down. But it's two sides of the same coin, and more violence, more rhetoric is not going to stop the violence and the rhetoric on the other side. It's just going to create more violence and more rhetoric and more divisiveness. So I can't listen to these kinds of podcasts or shows anymore that rile up the base. I mean, it's, you know, I remember, was it Rush Limbaugh back in the 80s, you know, was doing bang up shows during Clinton's presidency. And he was always much more popular when the other team was in office. And that tells you all you need to know, is that he benefited by having the Democrats in charge, because then he could bitch about them. He didn't have to do anything because he didn't have the power. And obviously he didn't have the power. He might have had some influence, but he didn't have the power. But even if he did, he probably wouldn't have utilized it, because that would have hurt his pocketbook. And I don't want to speak for Rush. I don't know him. I never knew him. I rarely listened to the show, but that was the, you know, it's kind of like all of these shows, Fox on Fox or CNN or MSNBC. The point is, you want to get your base riled up so that they continue to watch. And we have to stop that. You know, we have to turn these things off. It's like pushing away from the computer or the social media or whatever it is that is getting you angry, and start coming from a different point of view. And I know I sound all very kumbaya, and it's probably the hormones, but I'm worried about where we're headed, and I don't think it's in a good place, and I don't know how to put the brakes on it. I don't think our leaders are interested in putting the brakes on it. They certainly don't seem to be, because, you know, the only person we have who's even trying is John Fetterman. And nobody's paying any attention to what John Fetterman says. I mean, I am, and I'm sure there are people, but nobody in charge. Like, they're not going to vote differently because of what he said, because there aren't enough of him. But there needs to be more people like that. And, you know, we're about to go into a government shutdown, and frankly, I don't even care. It just shut it down. Shut it all down. It's not doing what I want it to do. It's not doing what the voters want it to do. And whatever. I don't know. I need a nap and a cookie or something. I don't know what I need. I need my hormones is what I need. Damn it. So I'm less angry right now than I am sad. I'm quite depressed, but I worry that we're not going to come out of this. I really thought we were when Trump got elected, but it seems that wasn't enough to wake people up. And I thought maybe, you know, when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, that might wake people up, but they're forgetting, and it doesn't seem like that's going to happen either. So, but I don't think scorched earth is the way to go. I don't think fighting fire with fire is the way to solve the problem. It's just going to burn everything down. I maybe I'm wrong. I hope, well, I don't think I am, but if I am wrong, I'm, you know, I've been wrong before. I don't have any problem admitting it, but I don't want to live in a world where we're just constantly, you know, fighting each other. We used to be able to disagree and still get along with your neighbor or the person that didn't agree with you. I don't know where we got so intolerant, but we are, and we need to stop it. And I think the only way, our leaders aren't going to do it. They're too childish and too whatever, compromised and corrupt. But if we, at the individual level, maybe that's enough to start a movement. So as Michael Jackson would say, you know, it starts with the man in the mirror. And I'm not going to sing because I don't sing very well, at least not according to my kids. But food for thought. So anyway, I am going to go and eat my macaroni and cheese and talk to you all later. Bye.